Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series entitled, Bod for God. Please take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Today we're going to talk about inspiration. We're going to talk about motivating yourself for change. I'm so glad you joined us today for this really, really important message about changing your life. Now, as you're turning there, also in your program is a study guide of our message for today. And I want to encourage you to get that out and to use that study guide. And also, if you're listening online, I want to welcome you today. And you too can have the study guide by downloading it at capitalbaptist.org. Well, today we're going to begin talking about this very important subject of inspiration. We're going to be talking about motivating yourself for change. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about this idea of BOD for God, four keys to a better body. What's that all about, BOD for God? Well, it's realizing this. Your body was created through God and for God. A BOD for God is realizing, hey, you know what? I am created through God, but I'm also created for God. The Bible says in Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now listen to this, all things were created through him and for him. Now I want you to personalize that statement, all things. I want you to think about you were created through him. Think about this. I was created through him, but also for him. So this verse tells us, number one, that God is the creator of our bodies. He created us. But not only is he the creator of our bodies, don't miss this. He is also to be the controller of our bodies. We're not just made through him, we are made for him. And in this series, we're looking at having a BOD for God and recognizing that we are made for him. Now, the good news is God didn't just leave us out here with no direction. Man, thank God for the Bible. You know, thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for this book. I believe the greatest health book in all the world is not my book, BOD for God. The greatest health book in the world is the Holy Bible. See, the Creator wrote this book. You understand that? The one that actually made you wrote book to you, to me. And he tells us in the Word of God what it takes to have a BOD for God. I discovered that the word body is actually in the Bible 179 times. I mean, this book uses the word body 179 times. And in this series, you're going to be learning many of those biblical passages and how they relate to you. Now, when you think about this, you need to realize the purpose of this series is to help you achieve, listen, a BOD for God lifestyle. This is what this is all about. And I want you to circle the word lifestyle. Please understand this series is about living the life that God designed for you to live. If you miss that statement, you miss what we're doing here in this series. This series is not about weight loss. It's not about getting porn out of your life. It's not about getting bitterness out of your life. It's not about smoking. It's not about alcohol. It's not about marijuana. It's not about cocaine. It's not about sexual sin, fornication, adultery. None of those sins against the body is what this series is about. What this series is about is much greater than those things. This series is about living the life that God designed for you to live. That's what this is all about. Experiencing a BOD for God lifestyle. Now listen, you will learn how to apply four biblical keys for a better body. Now we looked at the first key. The first key is the most important key. If you missed last week's message, I encourage you, in the strongest way I know to say it, go back and listen to that message. Go to capitalbaptist.org and you can listen to every week's message and get every week's study guide. Literally, people from all over the world weekly listen to these messages. You can do it, okay? Take the time. I'm telling you, it's worth the time because the first key is the most important key. Today, we're going to look at the second key. That's inspiration. That's motivating yourself for change. Next week, eat and exercise. That's managing your habits. And then team, that is, T is for team, building your circle of support. So today, let's go to John chapter 10, verse 10, and let's talk about inspiration. And I want to begin with the verse in the Bible that has meant so much to me when it comes to inspiration. And it's John chapter 10, verse number 10. John chapter 10, verse number 10. Here the word of God says, and Jesus spoke these words, and he said this, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The thief. Now, who's the thief? That's Satan, our adversary. Satan, our opponent. Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, when you look at that verse, there are a number of things that are striking about this verse. But one of the things you don't want to miss is the fact that every day there are competing agendas going on in your life. When you woke up this morning, Satan had an agenda for your life. And Jesus had an agenda for your life. These two agendas are very, very different. They're competing agendas. Satan said to you today, "Good morning. Welcome. Glad you're awake. Let's get going. Let's get busy. I want to steal from you today. I want to kill you today. I want to destroy you today." Jesus said, "Good morning. I today want to give you life. And I don't just want to give you life. I want to give you a life more abundant." These are very different lifestyles, aren't they? Now let's look at this in a deeper way. Here's what you need to understand. Satan doesn't care what he uses to accomplish his goal for your life as long as he's successful. And here's the deal. He's going to use whatever will work. He is going to use whatever will work. You see, there are people that say to me from time to time, they'll say, "You know what, you make too big a deal out of this stuff. You're just, you know, this is really not that big a deal." Now, you got to understand, there are people out here, they're addicted to cocaine, they're addicted to this, they're addicted to that, and you were just over here talking about food. I mean, you know, come on, give me a break. You're taking this thing too far. Now, if you're that person, as I would say to you if we were face to face, I would inform you that you are very misguided, okay? And what I mean by that is this. Satan will use whatever will work to accomplish his agenda. If he can get you hooked on porn, porn will do the job on all those things. It will steal from you, it will kill you, and it will destroy you. If he can get you hooked on tobacco, he can get you puffing those cigarettes. Everyone you puff, you lose 3 minutes off your life. That's what they tell us. If he can get you full of bitterness, make you a bitter, angry, mean, negative, depressed person, he will accomplish his goal for your life. He gets you hooked on sexual sin, alcohol, marijuana, cocaine. The list goes on and on and on. But for some of us, me in particular, he couldn't get me hooked on those things. He didn't need to get me hooked on those things. It wasn't necessary. He was doing what he wanted to do in my life using food and laziness. And he got me up to 340 pounds with high blood pressure, the silent killer, high cholesterol clogging up my arteries, diabetes. What was he doing? He was stealing from me. He was killing me. He was destroying me. And when I surrendered my fork to God, guess what happened? I started losing weight. And when I got to 70 pounds of weight loss, I no longer had to deal with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or diabetes. I was living. This is serious, what we're talking about today. Whatever it is, if it's alcohol, just the list goes on and on. I've identified about 18 different sins of the body that Satan uses to destroy us. I don't have time to unpack all that right now. But the point is, I mean, he will just use whatever will work. So you need to realize there's another agenda, and that is to live. To live, and not just to live a more abundant life. Doesn't that sound good to you? To live a more abundant life. Wow. Think about it. This inspires me. This motivates me. Now, what you need to understand about inspiration is this. Inspiration provides the muscle for building a body for God. Inspiration is important because it's kind of like the muscle that's going to propel you forward. If you keep falling down in your sin, you need to understand that your I is just not strong enough. You got to find an I, something that is going to motivate you to change. See, here's the deal. If you have a strong enough why, any what is possible. If you have a strong enough why in your life, if it's strong enough, any what is possible. It's all about the why. It's all about the inspiration in your life that's going to move you forward. What can you do to craft your personal motivation? Number one, this is so important, reject procrastination. Reject procrastination. You see, today you got to decide you're going to make a change. You've been procrastinating. You've been putting it off. And yet the Bible says in James 4:17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. I mean, God's word is clear. You know to do good and you don't do it. Well, the Bible calls that sin, sin. And it's so easy for us to procrastinate. I know in my deal, you know, the most popular diet plan, it's called the manana diet. I don't know if you're familiar with the manana diet, okay? But that's the one where you say, tomorrow I'm going to do it. Pastor, I certainly am not going to start on Sunday. I mean, got to get going here, and I guess I'll get started on this tomorrow, whatever. I mean, it's always manana. It's always tomorrow. I remember I got started right in the middle of the Thanksgiving, Christmas, holiday period. I just said, you know what? It's time. It's time. At some point, we just have to reject procrastination. Why should you improve your health now? Circle the word now. Number one, physical reasons. Physical reasons. I love 3 John verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. And listen, be in health just as your soul prospers. Just think about it. God desires for you to prosper. I'm not talking about prosperity theology, but I am talking about the very nature and character of God is that he wants you to prosper. Part of that is he wants you to be in health. He wants you to be in health. This should motivate you, the physical reason of being in health. Now, what does that look like? Well, number one, you'll feel better. You'll feel better. Most of us turn to whatever our sin is, our sex outside of marriage, our porn, our even our bitterness, you know, believe it or not. I mean, we turn to these things because of a feeling. We want to have that cigarette. We want to drink that alcohol. We want to do whatever, hoping to feel a little bit better. But you know what? Here's the deal. Yes, I would say those things can make you feel better, but only in the short term. A bond for God lifestyle allows you to feel better all the time. All the time. So you got to realize when you say, I'm going to do it now, you're moving in a new direction of feeling better. Also, you'll look better. You'll look better. And then how about this? You'll live longer. You'll live longer. Another thing to think about why you should do it now is the spiritual reason. The spiritual reason. And that is your body is the temple of God. Now, last week, in our last message, I made 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 our text, our main text. And you may recall what that passage talks about is the fact that our bodies are the temple of God. And we talked about the fact that from the time you are saved, the time you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, from that point on, God's Spirit takes up residence in your life. You are the temple of God. God lives inside of you. Let that sink in a little bit. And it says, because of that, glorify God in your what? Body. Your body's the temple of God. So glorify God in your body. Now, today, I want to take that a step further. And I want you to see an illustration that really motivated me. And it's Matthew 21:12-13, where it says, then Jesus went into what? The temple of God. Now, let me do a little doctrinal teaching, okay? Stick with me here, okay? All right, so from the point of the resurrection of Jesus on, that's when Jesus said, I'm going up, but the Holy Spirit's coming down. And from that point on, when a person had a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit took up residence in them. Before the resurrection, there was the temple of God, a building as such. So here we are, listen, Jesus went into the temple of God. Now the problem is these people are trashing the temple. They have taken what should have been a place of prayer and turned it over to a place of commerce. A place where God should be worshiped and praised, and they've made it into a place of commerce. They've turned the temple into a Walmart, basically. And what does Jesus do? Here it is. Jesus gets mad. I don't know what your view of Jesus is, but I like this view of Jesus on top of the other views of Jesus. He starts flipping tables. He starts flipping tables. He's mad. And what's going on with the temple? When are you going to get mad? When are you going to get mad at what you're doing to the temple of God? When are you going to get mad and start flipping some tape, basically go into action? When are you going to start acting? When are you going to start doing? Boy, I tell you, when I saw that, that really inspired me. I had to get mad. I had to get mad at what Satan had done to me. He was going to cut off my life. He was going to destroy me. He was going to destroy the quality of my life and the quantity of my life. And I had to get mad about it and say, no, you're not. No way. Okay? No way is that going to happen. Reject procrastination. Reject it. Secondly, refine your attitude. Refine your attitude. The Bible says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Your attitude is so important. What are some unhealthy attitudes? Well, number one, you can reject your body. You can reject your body. This is a big one for us today. We can reject our body. And the reason we struggle so much in this area is because of our culture around us. Our culture around us paints this picture of this body that none of us will ever live up to. And what do? We say, you know what, I don't have a body like they do. And so I'm just going to reject my body. I'm writing a book I've just started on health for men. Pray for this project, because number one, men don't read books. And number two, they don't read books about health. Because I wanted to see, what does the world teach about men's fitness? And so I get those magazines, and I'm planning to spend a lot of time looking through them, but I've done a pretty good glance at them, going through them, and it pretty much is page after page after page. And for you ladies, it's a whole lot harder for you. I mean, it's constant. The pressure that's put on you to look a certain way. You know, G.I. Joe. Can I tell you, when I was a kid, I looked like Mr. Potato Head and not G.I. Joe. But yet I was supposed to look at this image of G.I. Joe, you know, whatever. All this pressure. And what do? We just reject our bodies. Can I tell you something? You are beautiful. Do you understand all the variety in the world? Do you understand how much time and thought God put into you? Do you understand we're all different? Every one of us are different here. Every one of us. None of us look the same. None of us. He took time crafting us and making us. You know what? You're so handsome. You are so beautiful. You are. You got to realize that. You got to understand how God used you today. And you can't listen to the world. It tells you you got to look a certain way and be a certain way. Going to get you nowhere. The Bible says those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Stop it. Stop it. Secondly, you can perfect your body. Then we have this crowd. They're always at the gym. Always. They're food Nazis. I can kind of lean in that direction, but I'm far from it. People, I get asked all the time about what kind of food we have served at our church. It's all about perfecting and being that perfect person, and all other priorities go out the door. All other priorities go out the window. That's not good either. And then how about you can neglect your body? That's what I did from the time I was 21, 22 years old to the time I was 48 years old. The healthy attitude is you can maximize your body. What about that? What about just saying, you know what? Psalm 139 tells me, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Don't you love that wonderfully made part? Just say, you know what? I'm going to maximize my body. I'm going to maximize my body. I'm going to get the most I can out of the body that God gave to me. That's a good attitude. Number three, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Ephesians 4 tells us that we need to put off the former conduct, verse 22. Verse 24 says we have to put on the new man. And notice what's right in between. Underline this, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, if we're going to live a life that's honoring to God, if we're going to have a bod for God lifestyle, we have to renew our minds. Because really, any sin you commit begins first in the mind, right? I mean, there's never been an act of adultery that didn't first start in the mind. It was created in the mind. That's where it began. That's where it began. So what we have to do is we have to renew our minds, because our mind is going over here and our mind is saying, I hate that person and I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to be bitter towards them, blah, 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 blah. That's what we're thinking. We're thinking, oh, man, a cigarette would just taste so good right now. And we're thinking. We have to renew our minds. How do we do that? Well, number one, read the Bible every day. It's amazing what 5 minutes in the Bible a day can change about 23 hours and 55 minutes. It's amazing. I'm telling you, 5 minutes, it will change 23 hours in 55 minutes. 10 minutes can do more. 15 can do more. A half an hour can do more. But don't neglect the importance of even 5 minutes in the Bible. 5 minutes in the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 tells us we need to meditate in the Word so we can do it, and then we'll be prosperous and we'll have good success. And the only time the word success is used in the Bible is right there in Joshua 1:8. And then read health-related books or materials. Every day I read something about health. Every day. Renew your mind. Number four, remember the benefits. Remember the benefits. So you got to keep in your mind what is the price for a bond for God. Galatians 6, 7 through 9 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." That's the most powerful law in the world. You cannot avoid that law. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And don't be afraid of that. Embrace it, because it's awesome when you start sowing the right things, what you get to reap. But you better respect it, because if you sow the wrong things, that's what you're going to reap. Because if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. What was I doing? I was sowing to my flesh, wasn't it? I reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit, what do you do when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and direct you, as we talked about last week? You'll reap what? Everlasting life. And listen to this. Don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season, listen, for in the season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So here's the deal. Remember the benefits. Number one, decrease your pain. Decrease your pain. One of the great benefits of abide for God is you lower the pain in your life. You see, sin takes you on a painful downward spiral. That's what it does. It comes into your life and it controls your life and it puts you on a dangerous, destructive, painful direction in your life. You got to realize that the Bible says this. It says the way of the unfaithful is what? Hard. Hard. Would you underline that word hard? When you're unfaithful to God, you are going to live a hard life. I mean, aren't you tired of the pain? Aren't you tired of what it's done to your relationships? Aren't you tired of what it's done to your marriage? Aren't you tired of what it's done to your finances, your emotions, your health, your career? Aren't you tired of the pain? Remember the benefit. When you have a bond for God lifestyle, you can decrease your pain. You can decrease your pain. Just keep that out there in front of you. I'm going to decrease my pain. I'm going to start sowing to the Spirit, and I'm going to reap life everlasting. And then as we wrap it up on the back page, you increase your pleasure. Man, it's a wonderful thing to live for God. It's a wonderful thing to have a bond for God. You get to increase your pleasure. And then lastly, number five is by far the most important one. I want you to put a star there. I saved the most important for last. Rely on God. Rely on God. Oh, taste and see. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts. That means rely. Who relies in Him. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. What are you tasting right now? Is it really good? Can you say there, oh, taste and see. The porn is good. Oh, taste and see. I mean, this is good. Can you really say that? The Lord is good. I'll tell you that much. The Lord is good. And blessed, happy, 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 blessed is the person, the man who trusts in Him. Rely on God. Know that your flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak, and you must watch and pray. You can't do this on your own. You need God. So ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior and then trainer. Not only your Savior, that's the most important thing, but what about being your personal trainer? You want a personal trainer? How about Jesus? Ask him to be your personal Savior. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, listen, you will be saved. And then, look at this. How'd you like to have a trainer like this? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sounds like a pretty good trainer to me, amen? I can do all things. My trainer, I can do all things through my trainer, amen? I can do all things. All means all, for all things through Christ. Humanism is I can do all things. Christianity is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Rely on God. Ladies and gentlemen, BOD for God is really about living the life that God created you to live. It's not about any of these other sins we're talking about today. That's low stuff. It's about life. That's what we're talking about here. I call it losing to live. Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life, you just keep holding on to your sin, you're going to lose your life. But whoever loses his life, whoever loses his life for my sake, guess what will happen? You'll find it. You'll find it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. You're a great and mighty God. We praise you, Almighty God, for the privilege we have to look at your word and to find inspiration. Lord, thank you that through you we can be motivated to change. Today as we conclude, I just want to challenge you in two ways. Number one, I want to challenge you to rely on God. I want to challenge you to, there's never been a time in your life to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to be your Lord. And beyond that, ask him to be your trainer. He can help you accomplish things that you might feel are impossible today. He's that kind of God. And today, if you've never asked Christ to save you, just call on him. As I read the verse, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you can be saved. Do that today. Just go and pray right now. Just talk to God, admitting your sin, your need for salvation, and ask him to save you today. And then the second way I want to challenge you as a next step is to identify your inspiration. Now listen, it might change over time. You might update it, as you go, and that's fine. That's fine. But today, I want to lock you in. I want to lock you in today to a little snapshot of where you are today. Just right this very moment. What is your inspiration for change? What is your inspiration for change? So identify that and say, okay, as I leave today, as of right now, this is what I'm going to look at for inspiration. And again, you might change it, update it, refine it as you go, but get started. Get started today. Father, we thank you and praise you for this place and what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.